Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. And it is Sunday, April 10th, 2022, and 2 a.m. in Beijing, China, 3 a.m. in Tokyo, 5 a.m. in Sydney, 10 a.m. in Vancouver, 12 p.m. in Garland, 6 p.m. in Lagos, 6 p.m. in London, 7 p.m. in Berlin, 8 p.m. in Israel, and 9 p.m. in Moscow. What time is it where you are? Please text me to let me know that you are listening and to share what time it is, where you are, and where you are. I'd love to get you on today, and if you want to participate with guest commentary or with a prayer request, call me now. Our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. When you call, press 1 to raise your hand in the virtual queue. If you don't press 1, then I know you're listening but not talking today. And in our time today, we're going to focus on dragon power and dominion, that portion of the Book of Revelation. And before we get started, do you have a question about the Book of Revelation? I would love to answer your personal question about the book. Please text us your question or questions about the Book of Revelation. And our text number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. When I receive your question, I will consider selecting the question as a research question for focus and discussion in a future broadcast here on PGN of Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Today I'm going to open with Revelation 1:3, and I'm going to speak it over you from the Amplified Classic Translation of the Bible. Blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied, are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. And so what does that mean for you personally? Friend, today I declare over you, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, happy to be envied, because today you will hear the word of the prophecy of the Book of Revelation and keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them, laying them to your heart, because the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Amen. I am on duty as your research scientist for the Book of Revelation, and again, I am extending to you a personal invitation to call in with your question or to share your perspective or prayer request. You can call at any point in the show. I'll be taking your live calls at the top of the hour coming up, and you can reach us here at PGN at 1-319-527-6027. So to begin, and picking up where we ended last week, and if you're listening for the first time, that's okay. You can jump right in. How are the writings in the Book of Revelation structured and organized? First, the Book of Revelation begins with a summary. The technical term is an abstract of the book in its entirety. Second, the abstract is followed by a formal introduction, which is written from John's perspective. Third, the introduction is followed by transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches that existed at that time in Asia. Fourth, the Book of Revelation includes a report on heaven written from John's perspective. That's chapter 4. Fifth, informing the bulk of the book of Revelation, are 11 prophetic statements, which include both an abstract and continued discussion. And last, the book of Revelation ends with a formal conclusion of the book in its entirety. In the order of their appearance in the Bible, and beginning with chapter 5 and ending in chapter 22, these are the prophetic statements provided with John's narration that exist in the book of Revelation. First, there's the seven seals prophetic statement. Second, the seven trumpets prophetic statement. Third, the 1,260 days prophetic statement. Fourth, the dragon power prophetic statement. Fifth, the lamb stood. Sixth, the seven plagues. Seventh, omnipotent reigns. Eighth, dragon bound. Nine, the dead judged. The 10th prophetic statement is the new earth. And the final prophetic statement in the book of Revelation is the city. It is about the new Jerusalem that exists on the new earth after the millennial reign. So in today's lesson, we're going to examine the abstract for the first four prophetic statements, which document the dragon's power and dominion, the story of Satan and his rule on the earth. Dragon's power and dominion is told in the first four prophetic statements of the book of Revelation. We're looking at those today. Following the story of Satan and his rule on the earth, and to be discussed in our next talk, are the second set of four prophetic statements. The story of God's wrath and reign are discussed in prophetic statements 5, 6, 7, and 8. That begin with Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, and end with Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. The first four of the 11 prophetic statements make up the dragon power and dominion portion of the book of Revelation. Those are the seven seals, the seven trumpets, 1,260 days, and dragon power. These four prophetic statements are the focus of our talk today. For each prophetic statement, we'll begin with its abstract. We want to know where an abstract appears in the book of Revelation because we want to make sure that we understand what's most important from God's perspective. The most important information is always in the abstract of a document. The most important information for each of the prophetic statements in the book of Revelation is always in the abstract for the prophetic statement. I've been studying the book of Revelation intensively, and I've discovered that the author uses abstracts for each of the prophetic statements, and frankly, that is genius. So we're beginning with the first prophetic statement in the dragon power and dominion portion of the book of Revelation, the seven seals. From the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract for this first prophetic statement, which was given to John in a vision. Using words from the Bible as a title, this is the prophetic statement for the seven seals. Quote, "And I saw lying on the open hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll, book, written within and on the back, closed and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel announcing in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll? And who is entitled and deserves and is morally fit to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth in the realm of the dead, Hades, was able to open the scroll or to take a single look at its contents. And I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, 'Stop weeping. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root, source of David, has won, has overcome and conquered. he can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there between the throne and the four living creatures, beings, and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. He then went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves before the Lamb. Each was holding a harp, lute, or guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, fragrant spices and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints. And now they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth." That is the abstract in its entirety for the Seven Seals prophetic statement. I want to share with you the who, what, where, when, and why for this prophetic statement. Who? Jesus Christ breaks open each of the seven seals and reveals the contents contained therein, the vision, and to be included in a document, the book of Revelation. Who else? Four living creatures are participants in the work of the seven seals. At the breaking of each of the first four seals, a living creature, elsewhere in the Bible referred to as angels, cherubim, and seraphim, give an instruction. Talking about the who, what, where, when, and why in the Seven Seals prophetic statement. What? In the Bible, number one, a seal is a literary device, one of several literary devices from which the dominating theme, the return of Jesus Christ, is told. The seals is a point of view used to authenticate a document, the book of Revelation. Where? Where does this happen? Where does the events described in the Seven Seals prophetic statement, where do they occur? Jesus Christ opened each of the seven seals in heaven, where John saw the events in a vision presented to him. The future events shown in the vision happen in two locations, earth and heaven. The contents revealed with the breaking of seals number 1, 2, 3, and 4 describe events which take place on earth. In contrast, the contents revealed with the breaking of seals number 5, 6, and 7 describe events which take place in heaven. So when does all this happen? We're talking about the who, what, where, when, and why in the Seven Seals prophetic statement. When? The seven seals span the longest length of time of any of the prophetic statements in the book of Revelation, at least 1,433 years, maybe longer. We don't know the exact date of his return, so that's why I say 1,433 years or longer. The seven seals begin with the official beginning of the Roman Catholic Church, which, according to historical experts and historical documents, that was in 590 A.D., and, of course, the Roman Catholic Church continues today. So why? What is the point of the Seven Seals prophetic statement? Two key points. Number one, the return of Jesus Christ is told with the Seven Seals narrative to confirm, guarantee, and provide assurance to us as readers of the book of Revelation. Number two, the Seven Seals prophetic statement is used to indisputably report the chronological trajectory of events that lead up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is the dominant theme of the book of Revelation. I've shared with you the who, what, where, when, and why of the Seven Seals prophetic statement. And I want to go back for a moment. Irvin Baxter, in his excellent teachings on the book of Revelation, argued that the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, like the four Gospels, all tell the same story from three different perspectives. I agree with Dr. Baxter's assertion. As you know, as a research scientist and professional writing expert, I believe that there's more to the story, including the use of a formal introduction and conclusion to the book of Revelation, as well as the use of abstracts for 11 prophetic statements. At the same time, let's consider the excellent study that Dr. Baxter completed. Note that he argued that the seals, trumpets, and vows all tell the same story, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and that is true. He further argued that seal number one, described as, quote, in the Bible, a white horse rider whose rider carried a bow, and a crown was given him, and he rode forth conquering and to conquer. He argued that seal number one is Catholicism. Note that the color of Catholicism is white. How do you know that? What color does its leader, the Pope, always wear? The Pope has his own special vehicle, the Pope Mobile. What color is it? White. Baxter argued that seal number two, described as, quote, in the Bible, quote, another horse came out flaming red, and its rider was empowered to take the peace from the earth so that men slaughtered one another. And he was given a huge sword, end quote. That's in Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Baxter argued that the second horse, the second seal, is communism and socialism, which overlap significantly. So China is a communist nation. And what is the color of China? Red China. Socialism and communism, wherever they exist, always have red as their symbolic color. Seal number three, Dr. Baxter determined and argued through significant study that I encourage you to look at. And let's look in the Bible. Quote, seal number three is described as a black horse. It says, I saw and beheld a black horse, and in his hand the rider had a pair of scales, a balance. And I heard what seemed to be a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, a whole day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the oil and the wine, end quote. That's in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Baxter argued that seal number three, the black horse, is capitalism. And listen to what we just read. They're talking about oil and trade and pricing. What do we do in capitalist countries like the United States of America and Great Britain? We are a capitalist. We are capitalist nations, and we're constantly talking about the stock market. And so, if you had to talk about the stock market and capitalism 2,000 years ago, how would you describe it so that readers today would know what it was? This is how it was described. Let's look at it again. I saw and beheld a black horse, and in his hand the rider had a pair of scales. A balance. Balance is talking about trade. And I heard what seemed to be a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, a whole day's wages. So they're giving us the price for a stock. That's the price of wheat is this. And three quarts of barley for a denarius. Oh, there's another stock let's talk about this other thing that we're buying and selling. Three quarts of barley, that's going to be a denarius. And then it ends with, but do not harm the oil and the wine. Okay, the price of oil, we don't want the price of oil to change. So again, if you were describing 2,000 years ago for people today, and you had to show it in a vision so that John could capture it, how would you describe capitalism? And that's the way that the Lord chose to do that. Seal number four, we're talking about the four horsemen, quote, from Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. I looked, and behold, an ashy pale horse, black and blue, as if made so by bruising. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades, the realm of the dead, followed him closely. And they were given authority and power over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with plague, pestilence, disease, and with wild beasts of the earth, end quote. Now, this is very interesting. Baxter did significant study and determined that he believed that the fourth horse is Islam. Interestingly, pale horse is described as green horse in several versions of the Bible, several translations. In the King James Version, as well as in the Amplified Classic, although the root word is translated as green elsewhere in the Bible, it changed to ashy. Now imagine, as a translator, you are tasked with translating the Bible into English. That's a very important task. You want to do a great job. And so first you had a white horse. Okay, that makes sense as you're translating. Then you have a red horse. Okay, there's some horses that have a reddish hue. Then you have a black horse. Okay, we're still on track. And then you get to green. And as a translator, you translated the word correctly, green, elsewhere. But when you look at this, you say, this is not making sense. And so you take your liberty, even though you shouldn't, and you change the word to ashy, even though it's green. Let's fast forward and get to the take-home point. Green. What horse, what vehicle used by man over a significant period of time results in the killing with the sword of men on the earth, results in people experiencing famine and plagues? Islam. Islam, as its color, is green. If you go to a mosque, typically, whether you go to a mosque in America or you look at mosques that are in Saudi Arabia or other Muslim countries, you will see the color green everywhere because green was the favorite color of Muhammad, their prophet. So because green was Muhammad's favorite color, it became the color of the religion that he created. And in a mosque today, you will see that they have green carpet. Frequently, they will color the walls green. If you look at flags and other things related to Islam, the color is green. Now, what else? When we look at Islam today, is death associated with Islam? Yes, my friend. Have you heard of jihad? Now, according to this prophecy, Islam will have authority and power over a fourth of the earth and will continue to kill with the sword. Beheading is the favorite weapon of war in Islam. Let's continue. We've talked about seals number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those are seals that reflect happenings on the earth. Let us discuss seals 5, 6, and 7, which reflect happenings in heaven. Seal number 5 is found in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 11. When the Lamb broke open the fifth seal, I saw at the foot of the altar the souls of those whose lives had been sacrificed for adhering to the word of God and for the testimony they had borne. They cried in a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long now before you will sit in judgment and avenge our blood upon those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a long and flowing and festive white robe and told to rest and wait patiently a little while longer until the number should be complete of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed as they themselves had been, end quote. So this is telling us that in the same way that we are impatient for the return of Jesus Christ in heaven, though they be with Jesus, they are impatient for Jesus to return for a different reason. They want to be avenged. So this is describing a future event in the physical place, the location known as heaven. Seal number 6, verses 12 to 17, in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. When he, the Lamb, broke open the sixth seal, I looked, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun grew black as sackcloth of hair. The full disk of the moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky dropped to the earth like a fig tree shedding its unripe fruit of the season when shaken by a strong wind. And the sky rolled up like a scroll and vanished, and every mountain and island was dislodged from its place. Then the kings of the earth and their noblemen and their magnates and their military chiefs and the wealthy and the strong and everyone, whether slave or free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on before us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the deep-seated indignation and wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath, vengeance, retribution, indignation has come, and who is able to stand before it? This seal is telling us about the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is the end of the story. When I say the end of the story, it is the dominating theme, the pinnacle theme of the book of Revelation. Of course, we go beyond the second coming of Jesus Christ to the millennial reign and also the new heaven on the new earth. But the dominant theme is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So in heaven, when the sixth seal is broken, Jesus Christ returns for the Battle of Armageddon, which will be fought in Israel on Mount Megiddo. And these are events that will happen when the Battle of Armageddon is fought. There's going to be a great earthquake. Stars are going to drop to the earth from the sky. There'll be like a strong wind. What are the people going to do on the earth? So these are the people who did not experience the rapture. They're going to be afraid. They're going to say the great day of his wrath has come, and who's able to stand before it? Well, if you got your glorified body, and maybe it was changed in the twinkling of an eye because you were still here, or if you died in Christ before the second coming, you were raptured first. So certainly, you would be fine. You would be more excellent than you've ever been on the earth at the day of his coming. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that's what you're saying. Who is able to stand before it? And that's what they say. Okay. Let's talk about the seventh seal. In the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for a half hour. Let me read that scripture to you. Revelation 8, verse 1, when he, the Lamb, broke open the seventh seal, there was silence for about half an hour in heaven. So this is very interesting. Their activities on the earth, when the seventh seal is broken, in other words, at the time, at the beginning, the commencement of the Battle of Armageddon, and there are events in heaven. Now, what is happening in heaven? Heaven is a bustling place, an exciting place. The Sanhedrin is there. There are angels that are there. There are people who died in Christ. Joseph is there. Jacob is there. Peter is there. Surely they have things to say. But what does it tell us when the Battle of Armageddon begins? There's no talking in heaven at that time. There's silence for half an hour. Now, does that mean that the Battle of Armageddon takes half an hour? I don't know. I don't know, but I do know, we know from the book of Revelation that there will be silence in heaven for an entire half an hour. So the sixth and seventh seal end, culminate with the Battle of Armageddon and what that looks like on earth and what is happening concurrently in heaven. So let's talk about why. There are at least two purposes of the seals narrative, as I mentioned earlier. Number one, the return of Jesus Christ is told with the seven seals narrative to confirm, guarantee, and provide assurance. So when you look and you see, wait a minute, this thing called capitalism, before it ever existed, God said it was going to come to the earth like a force. And they were going to be talking about trade and the stock market and pricing. Before it ever existed on the earth, God prophesied for us in the book of Revelation that Islam would exist, that it would ultimately have authority over a fourth of the earth, that it would be followed by death, that their favorite way to kill people would be the use of the sword. It would also be characterized by famine and pestilence. God prophesied the emergence of Catholicism. God prophesied the emergence and spread of communism. And so if those things happen, and we see that they continue today, we can be assured that the events described in seals 5, 6, and 7 are sure to come. Surely in heaven, at some point in time, the people are going to say, Jesus, we're tired. How much longer until you go back to the earth to establish your kingdom and avenge our blood? And he tells them, wait a little bit longer. It's coming. I am going there, but not yet. And then finally, with the sixth seal, the time has come. Jesus Christ returns. And with his return, there is the battle of the Armageddon, the rapture, and the establishment of his kingdom on the earth. So we have been talking about the first of the four prophetic statements that make up dragon's power and dominion in the book of Revelation. Next, let's take a look at prophetic statement number two, the seven trumpets. From the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract from the book of Revelation. Each prophetic statement was given to John in a vision using words from the Bible as a title. This is the prophetic statement, the abstract for the prophetic statement, the seven trumpets. Reading from Revelation chapter 8, verse 2. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood over the altar. He had a golden censer, and he was given very much incense, fragrant spices and gums which exhale perfume when burned, that he might mingle it with the prayers of all the people of God, the saints, upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, the perfume, arose in the presence of God with the prayers of the people of God, the saints, from the hand of the angel. So the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it upon the earth. Then There followed peals of thunder and loud rumblings and blasts and noises and flashes of lightning and an earthquake, end quote. In that very short abstract, we go from start to finish. What is the finish? The finish is the second coming of Jesus Christ. The finish is the Battle of Armageddon. Let's go back, though, before we get there. What's the who, what, when, where, and why of the seven trumpets? Who? Inhabitants on the earth are affected by the events described as following the sounding of the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are seven major catastrophic disasters and wars. Before we were born, going back hundreds of years, a trumpet was used to communicate that a war had started. And so it makes sense that God would use the trumpets as a metaphor. In the book of Revelation, the most creative and complex nonfiction document that exists. So what are the seven trumpets, the seven major catastrophic disasters and wars? It appears that these are World War I, World War II, the Chernobyl disaster, the Exxon Valdez disaster, the Gulf War. These are trumpets that have already sounded, and to come, World War III, as well as the Battle of Armageddon. So the first six wars and disasters are wars and disasters inspired by Satan and reflecting the activities of man, wars on each other and a war on the environment. The last trumpet, however, sounds at the beginning of the final war, God's war on his enemies, the Battle of Armageddon. Let's talk a little bit about these wars. Where? So we're talking about the who, what, where, when, and why related to the seven trumpets prophetic statement. Where? The first trumpet involved much of Europe as well as Russia, the United States, and Turkey. That war was also fought in the Middle East, Africa, and parts of Asia. The second trumpet war involved the Axis powers, Germany, Italy, and Japan, and the Allies, France, Great Britain, the United States, the Soviet Union, and to a lesser extent, China. So that was World War II. The third trumpet impacted 150,000 square kilometers in the countries Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, further Scandinavian countries, Sweden and Finland, and other parts of the Northern Hemisphere to some extent, as well as other parts of the world, were affected by the radioactive releases blown by wind northward during the third trumpet. The fourth trumpet impacted 1,300 miles of the coastline of Alaska. From a reef, the spill stretched 460 miles to a tiny village on the Alaska Peninsula. The fifth trumpet, the Gulf War, involved these countries, Kuwait, the United States, the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, France, as well as Iraq. Coming up to today and our future, this is what we need to focus on. This is where we are. The sixth trumpet is going to happen on Earth, but the locations specifically are not reported, although the evil angels, which had previously been bound and who are loosed, are located in the great river Euphrates, which spans the countries Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. So we know that it will begin or emanate from the countries of Turkey, Syria, and Iraq, because this war, inspired by Satan, begins with the unloosing of four angels, which are of Satan's angels. Remember that a third of the angels are evil. They rejected God and followed Satan. They are bound because they are not God's angels. So God's angels are never bound. That's how we know that these are angels who are demonic, and they have been assigned to kill a third of mankind. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So where? That's what we're talking about right now. The seventh trumpet, where are those events going to occur for the seventh trumpet war? Mount Megiddo. The place, which is in Hebrew, is called Armageddon. That's in Revelation 16:16. However, many places on the earth will be impacted because in the Bible it is reported that the mighty city was broken into three parts, talking about Jerusalem, and the cities of the nations fell. And God kept in mind mighty Babylon to make her drain the cup of his furious wrath and indignation. And every island fled and no mountains could be found. So what's the city? The seven hills, that's Rome. Babylon, there's more to be said about that, but the take-home point is the Battle of Armageddon is going to affect many places on the earth, and we know where it's going to emanate from. So when? Let's conclude with when and why. When are these seven trumpets and why? The first trumpet, World War I, was fought in 1914, and lasted until 1918. Notice that there was interest in these events, going back to the book of Daniel. And God said to Daniel, I can't tell you about the details of this beast, of these events, because it's not for your time. It's for the end of the age. So we are in that time, friend. The second trumpet, World War I, was fought from 1939 to 1945. The third trumpet, the Chernobyl disaster, Wormwood, which is noted in the Bible. The Bible specifically says Wormwood when describing the third trumpet. That happened in 1986. In 1989, we had what I believe is the fourth trumpet, the Exxon Valdez disaster, which was hailed as a battleship in the war on the environment. In 1991, the fifth trumpet, the Gulf War, was fought. And most importantly, yet to come and in our future relative to today, is the sixth trumpet, World War III. And also yet to come and in our future after the upcoming war, where a third of mankind will perish, the seventh trumpet will occur. The seventh trumpet happens 7 years from the coming peace agreement, the confirmation of the covenant, and 3.5 years from the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist will be revealed. The seventh trumpet is the final event of seven major catastrophic disasters and wars. It is the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus judges and makes war at the last trump. That's quoted in Revelation 19, verse 12. So why? Why do we have these seven trumpets? The first six trumpets occur because man is not capable of peace in and of himself or capable of ruling the earth in perfect peace without Jesus Christ. Therefore, the seventh trumpet, the Battle of Armageddon, is fought and won by Jesus to bring perfect peace to man and to the earth forever and ever with the establishment of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his royal race, all who die in Christ or who are changed in a twinkling of an eye yet never experience the second death because those individuals are here when Jesus returns. So let's talk a little bit more about the sixth and seventh trumpets. Before the Battle of Armageddon, there's a sixth trumpet war, and let's hear what the Bible tells us about the sixth trumpet war in chapter 9 of Revelation, verses 15 to 17, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. When the sixth trumpet is sounded, so the four angels who had been in readiness for that hour in the appointed day, month, and year were liberated to destroy a third of mankind. The number of their troops of Calvary was twice 10,000 times 10,000, 200 million. I heard what their number was, and in my vision, the horses and their riders appeared to me like this. The riders wore breastplates the color of fiery red and sapphire blue and sulfur brimstone yellow. The heads of the horses looked like lions' heads, and from their mouths there poured fire and smoke and sulfur brimstone, end quote. So we learn, and this is not fun or exciting to report, but the prophecies of the Bible are true, and we are blessed to hear them read aloud, to consider them, put them on our heart because they're sure to come to pass. We learn that there is a war which will exceed the atrocities committed in World War II. This war, inspired by Satan and his demonic angels, will take the lives of 200 million individuals. Beyond that war, what else will happen? There's a war to end all wars. It is horrific to consider the reality of 200 million soldiers. I meant to say a third of mankind. Let me correct that. I apologize. The number of troops is 200 million, but the number of individuals who are destroyed are a third of mankind. That's at least 2.5 billion individuals. The numbers are so great. So, as I was saying, it is horrific to consider the reality of 2.5 billion individuals losing life, experiencing the first death, but that a reality. Imagine what life will be like. No wonder the Antichrist is able to persuade people to reject the Bible, persuade people to give up their sovereign power, and to all come together so that we'll never, ever have another war that takes the life of a third of mankind. But it is a deception. The coming one world power, one world religion will not lead to peace on earth. What's going to lead to peace on earth? It is the return of Jesus Christ. So with the Battle of Armageddon, we have the return of Jesus Christ. That is the seventh trumpet war, the Battle of Armageddon. And one of the plagues of the seven vials, which we'll talk about in our next talk, sounds similar to one of the plagues released during the seventh trumpet. That's, and there were flashes of lightning, loud rumblings, blasts, mutterings, peals of thunders, an earthquake and a terrific hailstorm. They sound similar because they are describing the same event. The seventh vial and the seventh trumpet are describing the same event, happenings at the Battle of Armageddon. They're describing the same event in different prophetic statements in the book of Revelation. Let's take a look at the Battle of Armageddon described in the seven trumpets, and then let's take a look at the Battle of Armageddon described in the seven vials, which we'll talk about in detail in our next lesson. First, the seventh trumpet. The seventh angel then blew his trumpet. Then the sanctuary of God in heaven was thrown open, and the ark of his covenant was seen standing in his sanctuary, and there were flashes of lightning, loud rumblings, blasts, mutterings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a terrific hailstorm, end quote. Now listen to how the seventh vial is described. Reading from Revelation 16, verses 17 to 21. Then the seventh angel emptied out his bowl into the air, and a mighty voice came out of the sanctuary of heaven from the throne of God, saying, "It is done. It is all over. It is accomplished. It has come." And there were followed lightning flashes, loud rumblings, peals of thunder and a tremendous earthquake. Nothing like it has ever occurred since men dwelt on the earth. So severe and far-reaching was that earthquake. The mighty city was broken into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and God kept in mind mighty Babylon to make her drain the cup of his furious wrath and indignation, and every island fled and no mountains could be found, and great excessively oppressive hailstones as heavy as a talent between 50 and 60 pounds of immense size fell from the sky on the people, and men blasphemed God for the plague of the hail. So very great was the torture of that plague. End quote. So the conclusion of the seven trumpets prophetic statement is that the war to end all wars, the Battle of Armageddon, is coming. It is a prophecy here in the book of Revelation, and it is sure to come to pass. Next, let's take a look at prophetic statement number three. Using words from the Bible, we can think of the title as 1,260 days. It begins with Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, and ends with Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. From the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract for the third prophetic statement of the book of Revelation. This prophetic statement was given to John in a vision. Quote, "And a great sign, wonder, warning of future events of ominous significance appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and with a crown-like garland, tiara of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out in her birth pangs, in the anguish of her delivery. Then another ominous sign, wonder, was seen in heaven. Behold, a huge fiery dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 kingly crowns, diadems upon his heads. His tail swept across the sky and dragged down a third of the stars and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stationed himself in front of the woman who was about to be delivered so that he might devour her child as soon as she brought it forth. And she brought forth a male child, one who was destined to shepherd, rule all the nations with an iron staff, scepter, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman herself fled into the desert wilderness, where she has a retreat prepared for her by God, in which she is to be fed and kept safe for 1,260 days, 42 months, 3 1/2 years, end quote. That was the abstract for the 1,260 days prophetic statement. So in this abstract for the 1,260 days prophetic statement, we just heard, we have a brief but precise statement of the problem or issues discussed in the longer body of work. The abstract contains the conclusion of the 1,260 days prophetic statement, which is much longer and includes elaboration details and additional information. So by using a movie trailer in words, a preview of what's to come in this longer prophetic statement, God tells us that these are the issues in chapter 12. Number one, Israel appeared as a great sign in heaven. Number two, Israel was pregnant with a male child destined to rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Number three of five, Satan came down to earth with a third of all the angels, fallen angels, and positioned himself in front of Israel because he wanted to devour Jesus Christ. Number four, Jesus Christ was born and resurrected, caught up to heaven with God. Number five, Israel will flee into the desert at the end of the age and will be kept fed and kept safe for 3 1/2 years. Those 3 1/2 years are the Great Tribulation. So let's talk about the word dragon, because we're in the set of prophetic statements, four of them, which focus on the dragon's power and dominion. In the book of Revelation, the word dragon is used 12 times, and it refers to Satan. The word dragon appears 7 times in chapter 12, which we're talking about now, 3 times in chapter 13, and 1 time in both chapters 16 and 20. Let's take a look at these together. The definitive scripture on who or what the dragon is in verse 2 of chapter 20 in the book of Revelation. It's, quote, "And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years, end quote. So we learn there definitively that the dragon in the book of Revelation refers to the devil and Satan, the old serpent of primeval times. In Revelation 12:4, we learn that his tail swept across the sky and dragged down a third of the stars and flung them to the earth. In Revelation 12:7, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels went forth to battle with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought." So we learn that Satan is going to be a part of a war in heaven, which we tend to think of as a place of peace and tranquility. There's actually going to be a war in heaven. Not surprisingly, who's the reason for this war? It's Satan. Now, who's going to battle Satan? And his third of all angels, Michael, will battle Satan. Michael and his angels will battle Satan. Where else is the word dragon used? Revelation 12:9, "And the huge dragon was cast down and out, that age-old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, he who is the seducer, deceiver of all humanity the world over. He was forced out and down to the earth, and his angels were flung out along with him." So Satan fights a war in heaven with Michael, and he loses. His punishment is that he has to be on the earth. Imagine you're in the beauty and majesty of heaven, and now you're no longer allowed to be there. You're confined to this earth. And in Revelation 12:13, we learn, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to earth, he went in pursuit of the woman who had given birth to the male child." That woman is Israel. And in Revelation 12:16, "But the earth came to the rescue of the woman, and the ground opened its mouth and swallowed up the stream of water which the dragon had spouted from his mouth." And in Revelation 12:17, "So then the dragon was furious at the woman, and he went away to wage war on the remainder of her descendants, on those who obey God's commandments and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and adhere to it and bear witness." And in Revelation 13, "And the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him, the dragon, gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion." So I want to back up. So we learn that the dragon, Satan, after the war in heaven, he's confined to the earth. He goes in pursuit of the nation of Israel. Ultimately, he wages war on Israel, biological Israel, the descendants of the original Israel, and he also wages war against those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that is in our future. After the war in heaven, Satan comes down and he pursues Israel vigorously for 3.5 years. In Revelation 13, which we're going to look at next, in the dragon power prophetic statement, the word dragon is used twice in Revelation 13:2, "And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him, the dragon gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion." And in Revelation 13:4, They fell down and paid homage to the dragon, Satan, because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshiped the beast, exclaiming, who is a match for the beast and who can make war against him? And further, in Revelation 13:11, then I saw another beast rising up out of the land itself. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He too was empowered and spoke like Satan. And in Revelation 16:13, this is the last place where the word dragon is used. And I saw three loathsome spirits like frogs leaping from the mouth of the dragon, Satan, and from the mouth of the beast. That's the nation ruled by the Antichrist, and from the mouth of the false prophet. So what's the take-home point? In the 1,260 days prophetic statement, the word dragon refers to Satan. He is in pursuit of the woman who is Israel and the child of Israel, destined to rule with an iron scepter, is Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was caught up to heaven, where he remains today until his second coming at the Battle of Armageddon, where he will establish his kingdom on the earth. It is the top of the hour. I would like to take your calls. I'm going to end with the fourth prophetic statement, Dragon Power. But if you are with us and you would like to call in for prayer or a comment, please do that. You can reach us at 1-319-527-6027. It's time for your calls and prayer requests. You can also text in your prayer request if you want to do that. You're welcome to communicate via text. You can text us your prayer request or your question about the book of Revelation. So the fourth prophetic statement, let's take a look at it, Dragon Power. It begins with Revelation 13, verse 1, and ends with verse 18. From the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract for the Dragon Power prophetic statement. This prophetic statement was given to John in a vision using words from the Bible as a title. We can think of this prophetic statement as Dragon Power. Stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him, the dragon gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion. In this abstract, we have a brief but precise statement of the problem and issues discussed in the longer body, the prophetic statement, which spans Revelation 13:1 to 13:18. This abstract also contains the conclusion of the Dragon Power prophetic statement. By using a movie trailer in words, a preview of what is to come, God tells us that the key problem is that there is a 10-horned beast that emerges on the earth. The beast comes from the sea. The sea is a word that is used as a metaphor for nations in the Bible. So from the nations of the earth emerges a 10-horned beast. The beast is used as a metaphor for nation in the Bible. And a metaphor is a thing regarded as representative or symbolic of something else, especially something abstract. 10-horned nation is going to emerge. The beast is clearly identified with the description of having 10 horns, which are 10 royal crowns. So let's talk about the key problem, which is that a 10-horned beast emerges from the sea, which is a metaphor for nations. Let's talk about the key issue with the beast, which is that it has blasphemous titles on its heads. And let's talk about the third thing, the most important outcome, which is that the key result and take-home point is that the dragon gives the beast three things. A, his own might and power, B, his own throne, and C, great dominion. The key issue with the beast is that it has blasphemous titles on its heads. A definition of blasphemous found in the Cambridge Dictionary is showing a lack of respect to God or to a religion. 10-nation conglomerate is going to show a lack of respect to God. There are many things in the Dragon Power prophetic statement, but from the perspective of the author, one of the most important issues is that this 10-nation conglomerate will be blasphemous. What else? Let's talk about the most important outcome in the abstract. In other words, the key result and take-home point, which is that the dragon, Satan, gives the beast three things. Satan gives the beast his all might and power. Satan gives this 10-nation conglomerate, he's going to give it his own throne, and he's going to give it great dominion. Keep in mind that in John chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus refers to Satan as the ruler of this world. John 16:11, quote, "The ruler, evil genius, prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned," end quote. So Jesus refers to Satan as the ruler of this world, and Satan is the ruler of this world up and until the return of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ becomes the ruler of this world and establishes his kingdom on the earth. So here in the book of Revelation, in the Dragon Power prophetic statement, we learn that the dragon, which is the devil Satan, is going to empower a specific entity, a conglomerate of 10 nations, which has 10 kings. The beast appears with 10 crowns because the conglomerate of nations will have 10 rulers. In our time, kings who rule nations have titles like president, President of the United States, and Prime Minister, the Prime Minister, for example, of Germany. This nation will become extremely powerful at the end of this age because Satan is going to empower the nation by giving it his might and his power, his own dominion, which is sovereignty and control, and his own throne. And he can do that because, as Jesus noted in John chapter 16, verse 11, Satan is the ruler of this world until Jesus establishes his kingdom on earth at the second coming. So in our lesson today, we have discussed the four prophetic statements in the Dragon Power and Dominion portion of the book of the Revelation. We've discussed the seven seals prophetic statement, which begins with chapter 5, verse 1, and ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. We've discussed the seven trumpets prophetic statement, which picks up right after the seven seals with verse 2 of chapter 8 and ends with the last verse 19 of chapter 11. We also discussed the 1,260 days prophetic statement that begins with verse 1 of chapter 12 and ends with the end of chapter 12. And finally, we discussed the fourth prophetic statement in the Dragon Power and Dominion portion of the book of Revelation. That is Dragon Power, which begins with verse 1 of chapter 13 and ends with verse 18. I want to thank you for listening. And I have a question, which is, do you have a question about the book of Revelation? If you have a question, please text your question now or later, if you think of a question later, to 214-505-8719. When I receive your question, I will consider selecting the question as a research question for focus and discussion in a future broadcast here on PGN of Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. You have been here with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. If you'd like to listen again live, I will be sharing this same talk but live and taking your calls live on Tuesday of this week at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Central Time, that's Texas time. I encourage you to listen again. We learn best via repetition and reflection. So I encourage you to join me again on Tuesday for further discussion. Next week at the same time, I will be discussing the next four prophetic statements in the book of Revelation, those prophetic statements which reflect God's wrath and reign. So please be sure to join me next week at the same time on the same channel, PGN Prophetic Grace Network. Thank you so much for listening today. I see no hands held up, so I will end. I will look forward to being with you next time. Have a blessed day and weekend. Thank you.